looking in the book of John, chapter 20. I just want to remind you, this next Sunday night, Lord willing, the Armor Heirs will be here. I want to encourage you again, the sign-up list for food, they will not eat before the concert. They will be eating after, and anybody that wants to join them, the fellowship time afterwards is always enjoyable as well. So please sign up if you can, and plan to come out next Sunday night. Invite your neighbors, friends, enemies, cats, dogs, whatever, and come and join us for a Southern Gospel music concert. There was something else I was going to tell you. It must not have been important at the moment. Okay. Let's turn our thoughts to the message today. John chapter 20. You know, the day finally came after a long and anxious wait. The helpers were chosen, the supplies were purchased and packed, and the entire team assembled to begin their expedition into unknown, uncharted territories. They were commissioned to go check it out by the authority of the President of the United States. Their goal was to explore these new lands where their fellow citizens had not been to yet. But it was a property that the nation was considering purchasing. They extensively documented the details of the land topography, the river course, the natural resources, the flora, the fauna, the people that lived there, and just everything they could about the new territories, the new regions they were exploring. They began their journey of nearly a three and a half year long journey in May of 1804, and then they returned in September of 1807. The Lewis and Clark expedition documented and proclaimed the value of the Louisiana Territory, which they had explored. And just as a note, my brother and his wife owned property on the river that they walked up in Montana. And so I just find that kind of an interesting little tidbit of family history that you now know that you probably didn't even want to hear, but you got it anyway. But the Lewis and Clark expedition went on this long journey, 3.5 years, exploring, studying, writing down, documenting this purchase. And this resulted in the opening up and the settlement and the trade within the region, along with laying out a strong claim to the other unexplored territory, the Oregon Territory. And all of this is based on the testimony of 48 people. 48 people were in that expedition spending 3.5 years together to talk about the Louisiana Territory. We're gathered here because of the testimony of more than 48 people who spent 3.5 years with one of the great people of earth, and I would suggest the greatest person on earth who ever visited the earth. We are not here because of a desire for land. We're not here to explore the value of money, of wildlife, or anything else of this world. We are here in faith and assurance that on a morning like this, around 2,000 years ago, death was defeated by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, who conquered the grave even after he had been crucified on the cross, one of the most horrible ways of torture that man has devised. Even though he was buried in a solid rock tomb, sealed off, protected by soldiers, just as prophesied, he promised, he rose from death in life on the third day, conquering death for us. Not because he needed to, but we needed it. He came for our benefit. Numerous people were witnesses to his victory over the grave. We also remember another statement of Jesus Christ. He told us, "I came that you might have life and have how much of it? Have it abundantly." God wants us to have life abundant. And Jesus came and paved the way so that we can have that abundant life. The message in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a created fable, a fairy tale, or a myth of some person or some group, as some people try to tell us today. It is reality. It is fact. Jesus Christ was prophesied by God from the beginning of humanity. He's described throughout history with hundreds of details by the prophets, and then people witnessed him living those prophecies in the flesh, saw him in his birth, his life, then his death, and ultimately what? His resurrection. People saw Jesus. They witnessed Jesus. They saw the resurrected Messiah and Savior of humanity, Jesus Christ. It is not a fable. It is a fact of history. Our calendars are based upon the coming of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, a lot of people are trying to get away from that, ignoring the fact that the greatest person of all time did come according to God's plan. The disciples, people all around him, saw Jesus alive after he had been tortured to death. Jesus is alive when? Today and forever. And because of him, we will have the we all have the promise we will not have to die forever. We can have life as well. The disciples saw Jesus alive. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the testimony of the Scriptures. We thank you that it's not only in the Scriptures, but in other history, it is recorded that there was Jesus Christ who conquered the grave. And we thank you that Jesus has come as Messiah and Savior for all humanity. We thank you for the transformation that comes through him, that we can be a changed person, that goodness can flow through us because of Jesus Christ, because of the transformation that he brings upon us. Father, I just pray that if there are any here who doubt the resurrection or the personage of Jesus, that something said, some scripture, that your Spirit will speak to their heart and convince them that they need to be totally committed to Jesus, that every one of us need to be reminded to be committed to Jesus, that we need to encourage each other in a world that has gone crazy, astray, violating your truths, your plan of righteousness. Father, help us to stand strong and true in your ways, believing in and living for the living Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming again. Let us be ready. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in John chapter 20, verses 18 through 20, kind of a strange little mix, but I want to read this passage and focus on it for the purpose of our message today. John chapter 20, starting verse 18, Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Now, this morning we went through and read the texts of a combination of the gospel messages. I posted one of those bulletins from this morning, and some of you may want to go look at that. You need to read all four gospels, the accounts that are written there. The story is kind of from four different perspectives, and so not all the disciples gave the same information. As you read through, you can gather different portions of the message. Brother Robert shared in the meditation for communion a portion of that resurrection morning. And it was just one section of the whole entire morning and the days to come. Let's consider those things that the disciples saw the Lord resurrected. First of all, is the story credible? You need to examine the credentials of the life of Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer, and as you run into people who don't believe, sometimes you need to establish the fact that Jesus Christ really did walk the earth, because so many people are in denial. People are refusing to acknowledge that there is a God and that we need help. The fact is, we do need help. Look around us. All the bad news. Why is there bad news? You would think people would get better, right? After all, we're an educated people, right? We're smart people. Shouldn't we know how to get along better? And yet, sin persists. What the Scriptures call sin. Corruption, death, destruction, violations of different types. God has given us His plan in the Scripture. So examine the credentials of the life of Jesus Christ. There are four different authors, as I mentioned, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who wrote of His life, about the life and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, providing sufficient material for us to evaluate whether or not Jesus was really who He claimed to be. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. Either He was a lunatic or a liar, or He is telling the truth. And you need to examine all of the evidence of the life of Jesus Christ. I think most of you are here because we believe that He is the Son of God. Amen? But there are people around us who are still struggling with that question. And if there's anybody here today, I encourage you to examine your gospel letters. Read them again. Think about what the message is, and then the testimony of the rest of the New Testament. Multitudes of people observe the actions and the teachings of the carpenter turned preacher from Galilee. Most of them approved of what He was doing. Jesus was radical in His day, teaching people how to love one another, how to live according to the message God had given to them, and the people ate it up. They just loved to hear as they observed Jesus Christ. He not only talked about what should be done, and He lived it. You know, have you ever heard the people who say, "Do what I say, not what I do"? And yet Jesus was doing what He said. Most Jewish leaders hated Jesus. They saw Him as a threat to their position and the control of the people. Jesus definitely was anti-corruption. And most of the leadership was very corrupt. And Jesus was a threat to them because He was revealing all of their twisted, perverted ideas. People enthusiastically wanted to be near Jesus, to hear the stories, to hear the truth, to be healed and to be helped, to enjoy living. Living with Jesus was fun. It was good. Living under the rule of the other people was a drudgery. It was always a pain. It was always frustrating. And Jesus brought life into the lives of the people. They enjoyed being with Jesus, so much so they would ignore their work and follow Jesus for days, not even thinking about, you know what, we need to pack a lunch. We need to be careful. We need to take care of our livestock. They didn't care. They wanted to be with Jesus. How many of you have found somebody like that? How many of you have not showed up for work because you were following somebody so intensely? You wouldn't get along very well in today's society, would you? Not very well. People enjoyed living around Jesus. Jesus was truly the way, the truth, and the life. And just a few weeks earlier in Bethany, just over the hill from Jerusalem, it was a suburb of Jerusalem, about 3 miles, 2 to 3 miles away. What had Jesus done? He raised Lazarus from the grave after Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Even the sisters objected, "Don't open that tomb, it will stink." And Jesus commanded them, open it up. And then he called Lazarus from the grave. And that, what excitement would that be? How many of you would love to see one of your deceased loved ones raised from the dead? You know, I'd love to see my parents again. I'd love to see my brother again, other people that I've known. Today, when you die, right? Well, Jesus gave us the hope beyond the grave. And what a transformation this made in the community when Jesus raised Lazarus, the word got around. Jesus has the power. And it wasn't only Lazarus that he raised. There were others too. The betrayal of Judas Iscariot delighted the enemies of Jesus. Hey, we got an inside track. Boy, the enemies were just foaming at the mouth at the opportunity when when Judas Iscariot showed up at their doorstep and said, what will you give me if I turn over Jesus to you? They were so blinded with hatred that they didn't realize that they were actually fulfilling prophecy. In Psalm 41, verse 9, it talks about a close accomplice will betray me. God's word foretelling beforehand the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. They thought that their scheme and the demise of Jesus was fulfilling God's plan. Their way. They were actually fulfilling God's plan, but it wasn't their way. It was God's way. The dark plan of Satan's servants was followed with precision and efficiency. Thursday night, there was this sneak attack to capture Jesus, led by Judas Iscariot and the betrayal kiss. The Sanhedrin conducted an illegal trial in the middle of the night, in the dead of night, against the law. They broke the law to get rid of Jesus. By the morning, Friday morning, their pre-planned false charges were brought before the Romans. First, they brought him to Pilate. Pilate tried to push it off, shoved it off to Herod, who was in town, because Jesus was from where? Galilee. And Herod couldn't get any answers. Herod dressed him up in a fancy robe and sent him back to Pilate and said, you deal with this. And Pilate was forced to deal with the mob that hated Jesus. Just a few days earlier, what had they cried? Praise to Jesus, the King, the triumphal entry, the Sunday before. And now it's Friday, and the mob is crying for his death because the leaders had manipulated the people. Corrupt leaders instigated the crowd to demand crucifixion, the most painful death possible for Jesus. You see, mockery wasn't enough. They wanted more than mockery. Ridicule wasn't enough. They wanted more than that. False charges and spitting on Jesus wasn't enough. That wasn't what they wanted. They wanted to abuse Jesus. Not just abuse him. They wanted to beat him. And so they beat him. And that wasn't enough. No, they wanted him scourged. They wanted to see him shed blood in the most painful way. They wanted him to wear a crown of thorns. They wanted him to bear a cross uphill after he had barely survived the beatings and the scourgings. And that wasn't enough. They wanted to watch him as nails were driven through his hands and through his feet, and as the cross was raised and dropped into the hole. And all that's holding him are those nails. They wanted to watch him suffocate to death. That's what crucifixion finally led to. Suffocation, gasping for breath. And they weren't happy until Jesus died. They saw he was dead, but just to make sure, a spear was thrust through his heart to guarantee he was dead before they would release the corpse and allow him to be buried by a rather interesting couple. Two men, secret disciples of Jesus from the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea emboldened themselves, stepped forward, and buried our Lord. There was a large stone sealed over the entrance. Scholars have estimated that the stone rolled in front of the tomb weighed 2 tons. And the system was designed so that the rock would lock in place. You don't just get up and push the stone out of the way. It took several people. Well, on top of that wasn't good enough. What'd they do? The Jews pled from Pilate, "We need a Roman guard because those tricky disciples, they might come and steal the body and claim he's risen from the dead." So Scripture records 4 squads were sent, professional Roman soldiers. 16 soldiers guarded the tomb with their lives. They were assigned to protect the tomb from any grave robbers, to guard the tomb. The Jews wanted to make sure Jesus was dead and stayed there. God's plan for life was completed on Sunday morning. God knows all things, amen? God knew the schemes and the plans, the evil plans of those enemies before time began. And God used all of it to fulfill prophecy and to provide the final perfect sacrifice for all sin of all humanity. The enemies of Jesus Christ sealed their own doom with the destruction of their enemy, Jesus Christ. God's angel opened the empty tomb, not to let Jesus out, but for people to look in. Because the grave was what? Empty. Why? Because Jesus was transformed. He was changed. Scripture records that the angel that came and rolled the stone away, one angel. Can you imagine that one angel comes and rolls this huge 2-ton block out of the lock, out of the way. His appearance was so bright that it frightened these Roman soldiers. There are 16 of them and only one angel, and they were so frightened that they fainted. And when they finally came to, they ran away and ran down to the Jewish leaders and told them what had happened. They abandoned their post and they were paid off, the Scripture records. The Jews said, "We'll protect you. We'll keep you alive." Scripture doesn't say any more what happened to them. How many of those men possibly became believers? Scripture never records. And inside that tomb, the burial wrappings of Jesus lay in place like a cocoon. Just an empty shell of a cocoon. Laid in place except for the face cloth. The face cloth was neatly wrapped up and laid aside. Interesting. God's angel told the confused women that Jesus was risen. Just like he said he would do. Don't you remember? Yeah. I was overcome with grief. I didn't think about that. Jesus always kept his word. Even when it seemed impossible, even conquering death. He's just telling us one of those strange stories again. I'll rise again on the third day. Whoever rises from the grave? Okay, Jesus, we'll let you tell the story this time. And then it happened. What? Jesus proceeded to reveal himself alive to several people. It started with Mary Magdalene. Interesting choice. A lot of people have made a lot of stories out of that. But she was there showing true grief at the loss of the person who had saved her soul. Mary Magdalene was first. Peter, Cephas, saw Jesus somewhere in there. Two men from the road to Emmaus saw Jesus. They walked with him all afternoon to their home, and it wasn't until supper time they realized it was Jesus all along. So they hurry back and start telling the other disciples. They said, well, Simon Peter, he saw him too. And all of a sudden, what happens? There stands Jesus right in the middle of a locked room. He didn't need to knock on the door. He just showed up. The 10 apostles that night were in that room along with other disciples. Thomas really gets a hard rap, you know. What do we call him? Doubting Thomas? If you read the whole story, it was all of them. They all doubted. It's just that Thomas wasn't there that time, and he gets the rap, the name, Doubting Thomas. 1 week later, he gets to see Jesus face to face, finger in palm in the side. Excuse me. What a beautiful story. And it didn't end with Thomas. Scripture tells us that over 500 people saw Jesus in one crowd. The stepbrother, the half-brother of Jesus, named James, Jesus appeared to him and convinced him. And James became one of the leading Christians, one of the leading elders in the church at Jerusalem. He wrote our book of what? James. 40 days he spent with the apostles, encouraging them, reminding them, furtherly instructing them on the truths. And then to one untimely born, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, hater of Christians, was confronted with Jesus himself on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9. And most people stop right there, but there's one more who Jesus appeared to, the Apostle John. And he gave us the book of what? Revelation. The promises of the future. Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of God. He's pleading for us. He is real. The power of the risen Christ transforms people. As we read through, all who surrendered their life to the will of Jesus were changed by the presence of the Holy Spirit who helps them seek righteousness. They are given the gift of the righteousness of the Holy Spirit at the obedience of the commands of Jesus when they're buried in the body of Christ through baptism, raised in newness of life. The frightened disciples were filled with boldness to preach the good news of forgiveness through Jesus. They faced every enemy with the power of the victorious risen Lord Jesus. Before they cowered and hid in the shadows, now they are standing out and boldly proclaiming Jesus before even the leaders of the Jews, before kings, before anybody and everybody who would listen. The apostles were filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit on that first day of the church. The Spirit helped them remember all of the teachings of Jesus in the building of the church of Jesus Christ to perform miracles, to practice healing, to cast out demons, and even to raise the dead. They were filled with the power of God. The first sermon of the church resulted in about 3,000 convert believers who believed in the message of Jesus Christ, that He was the Messiah, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, the good shepherd, the door, and so much more. They were immersed and devoted themselves to living for Christ. Within weeks, the numbers grew to an uncountable multitude of believers in Jerusalem and continued to spread into other regions. The New Testament book of Acts, along with the epistles, show us the spread of Christianity into the world of the day. Salvation through Jesus Christ was available to everybody who would believe, everybody who would obey His commands. And did it end in the first century? No. The power of the risen Christ continues to transform lives. Many of you have testified. You are witnesses of changed people because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus has changed you. There is no other Savior than Jesus Christ who has the power over the grave. Buddha still in his grave, Muhammad still in his grave, all the great leaders are still in their graves. Only Jesus has an empty grave because he is alive, seen after his death. Only Jesus gives abundant life to those who turn to him to help us in this life. And then he's promised to give us how much life? Everlasting life. Jesus promised to return back to this earth, and his followers, he's going to take all of his followers to be where? With him in a new creation, a perfect creation wherein righteousness dwells, the new creation in the presence of God the Father himself. Jesus kept all of his other promises. We're waiting for this one. Are you ready? Are you living for him? Are you serving the living Savior? He's going to be asking us on the day of judgment, are you faithful? Have you served me? Have you practiced what I taught you? Jesus conquered death with life so that he might save all who believe and obey his commands. The life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus are true history. They are documented with multiple witnesses who saw the Lord, who gave their life as a testimony that Jesus is real, the Lord of life. We still serve the risen Lord Jesus. Just make sure that you're found serving him when he comes back. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus, the living Lord. I just pray again that anybody who has not fully committed themselves to his lordship, to his leadership, that they would do so today, not delay, but that they would fully commit to you today for every day that they have life, a blessing from you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the scriptures recorded for us. Thank you for those who shared this message. And Father, we pray for boldness to share this message with others around us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.